Okay, very good. Yom HaKippurim, as its name might suggest, is fundamentally a day of kapara. In Parshas Achrimos, where we have the Avodah Yom HaKippurim described, we will read it, God willing, on Shabbos morning, Yom Kippur morning, there really is no mention of tshuva. We do have the mitzvah of smicha, and along with that, v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beiso, which Chazal tell us is kapara of dvarim, is vidui. But tshuva itself is not part of the parsha. And reading the Rambam made me sort of ask the question, what is the role of tshuva on Yom HaKippurim? What is the relationship between tshuva and kapara? And one would have assumed that when talks about tshuva and kapara, that one, tshuva is the means by which you get kapara. And presumably, tshuva done properly should always lead to kapara, and kapara without tshuva should be completely ineffective. However, there is a Gemara in Shavuos which records the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim as to whether or not Yom HaKippurim can be mechaper even without tshuva. And the Chachamim say categorically not, and Rebbe says it's mechaper on everything but three very severe averas. Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, quotes what appears to be some type of a hybrid, a combination of the two. The Kesef Mishnah is not quite sure how the Rambam got to that. For our purposes in this year, I'm not interested in exploring that question. I'm more interested just in actually the whole notion that there might be, in fact, kapara possible without having done tshuva. The Rambam writes in Halacha Beis, it's on the first side of the source sheet, the Rambam writes that Sar HaMishtaleach Lafishu Kapara Al Kol Yisrael, because the Sar HaMishtaleach's purpose is to be a kapara not just for the Kohen Gadol, his family, the Kohanim, but for all of Klal Yisrael. Kohen Gadol Mizvade Alav Al Lashon Kol Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol speaks with the language of all of Klal Yisrael. We see this in the Vidur on Yom HaKippurim, Nat Chatasi Avisi Pashati B'tchotu Avu Pashu. Shenemar V'svada Alav Es Kol Avonos B'nei Yisrael. Now what is the Sar HaMishtaleach Mechaper for? So the Rambam continues, Sar HaMishtaleach Mechaper al kol aveir shebetorah, hakalos v'hachamuros, bein she'avar bezadon, bein she'avar bishgaga, whether he violated these minor or severe averos by mistake, on purpose, bein she'hodalo, bein she'lo hodalo, whether he knows of his transgression. If he was a shogi, he might not know. V'hu she'asa tshuva, provided that he did tshuva. Aval, and lo asa tshuva, ein hasar mechaper lo ela halakalos, only on the minor transgression. He goes on to say the minor transgressions, when we might not consider some of them so minor, are ases and lavim with don't entail kares or misa, with the exception of one lav, of shvuas shav. Okay, so apparently it's possible to have kapara without tshuva. And the question is, does that make any sense? On the flip side, is there tshuva without kapara? So the Rambam in Halacha Dalet, towards the at the bottom of the first side, the Rambam writes that aval pi sha tshuva mechaperas ala kol ve'atzmo sheyom HaKippur mechaper, both tshuva and Yom Kippur serve as mechaperim. Yesh avero sheyem miskaperim l'shaitan v'yesh avero sheyem miskaperim el al achar zman. Some things are forgiven immediately when you do tshuva or when Yom HaKippurim comes, and some things require more time. And in the small print, the Rambam describes, the part we'll skip over, certain averos require more for kapara beyond tshuva. Meaning, if someone violated an avera which involves kares or misas based in, so tshuva and Yom HaKippurim start the process, but in order to complete the process of kapara, the person has to experience yisurin. Okay. And then he gets to the last line. Bamed var mamurim, b'shaloch chila les Hashem, b'shar she'avar. If when you violated the avera, you weren't mechal l'shem shemayim. Aval ha-mechal les Hashem, if your avera entailed chilul shem shemayim, aval pi she'asa tshuva, even though you've done tshuva, v'higi yom HaKippurim, v'hu omed b'tshuvaso, he's still standing in a state of tshuva, u'bo alav yisurim, and he has suffered. He does not achieve full kapara until he dies. Now, I'm a little bit puzzled by this. Is the death a form of Yisurin? Is it the ultimate form of Yisurin? Is that what constitutes the kapara? What about a person who didn't commit Chil Hashem? What is the role of his death? Does the death have to actually entail suffering, an unusual death, in order to be mechaper for Chil Hashem? Why is it, in fact, that an Aveira Kala with just Chil Hashem involved, why is it that tshuva gemura, is not enough to be mechaper? Why is it that atonement cannot be achieved through tshuva, and certainly Yisurin? What is it about the Misa that somehow is different? In effect, why is there kapara without tshuva, and why can there be tshuva ultimately without kapara? So, the question we have to ask is, what is tshuva, and what is kapara? First, I want to analyze, and I really want to focus mostly in this year, on what in fact is tshuva. And the way I want to approach this is to actually explore the relationship between that which is actually the mitzvah of Yom HaKippurim, which is neither kapara nor tshuva, but the mitzvah of vidui. And the Rambam, in terms of the relationship between the mitzvah of vidui and the idea of tshuva, I don't know if an idea or a mitzvah, has what I would describe as at least three distinct formulations, maybe a fourth or a fifth. And I want to look first at four of them, which would be in the place that you would actually expect to find them. I start with the Koteret to Hilchos Tshuva, the Hakdama to Hilchos Tshuva, and as the Rambam, as he does in all of his Svarim, at the beginning of a set of Halachos, he lists the mitzvos from the Sefer HaMitzvos or from the Minyan HaMitzvos, which are discussed in those particular Halachos. So if you look at source, what's labeled Gimel, towards the first half of the first sheet, the Rambam says, Hilchos Tshuva, Mitzvah Saseyachas, V'hu sheyoshev achotei mecheta lufnei Hashem, v'yisvade. The Rambam says that the mitzvah is a person should repent from his sin before God, and then he should confess, he should do vidui. It sounds from the Rambam here that there are, in fact, we could have called it two mitzvahs, or I would say two parts to one mitzvah, two stages to one mitzvah, and in this presentation they appear to be equal. In other words, the mitzvah part A is do tshuva, and part B is to do vidui. Neither one seems to be particularly subservient to the other, and tshuva certainly doesn't seem to be secondary to the vidui. If, however, we look backwards, if we look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, which is the first source, the Rambam writes as follows. V'ha-mitzvah ha'ayin gimel, the 73rd mitzvah saseh, hi she-tzivanu li-hisvados al ha-chata'im v'avonos she-chatanu l'fnei ha'el yisale v'le-mor osam. We have to be misvade, v'le-mor osam means it has to be verbal. You don't just think it. He says, im ha-tshuva, along with tshuva. And the Rambam goes on to discuss the sources, to discuss the way the vidui is done, and to point out that this vidui, even though the source for vidui, which is a pasuk in Parshas Naso, v'hisvadu eschatasam asher asu, nonetheless, it's not limited to a situation where you bring a karban. Even an avera that doesn't entail bringing a karban, you still have to do vidui. You still have to do vidui. But I think that the key point in the Rambam, certainly for our issue, is the first line. You have to do vidui on that which you did, verbally, im ha-tshuva, along with tshuva. Here, the formulation sounds as if the mitzvah really is vidui, but it has to be accompanied by tshuva. Almost as if tshuva is sort of a prerequisite, or a tanai, in order to do vidui. And this is very much, I would say, counterintuitive to the way we might think on our own. If anything, we might have thought on our own that the mitzvah is tshuva, And vidui is just an indication that you've done tshuva. But certainly, that's not the way the Rambam presents it in the Sefer HaMitzvos. To make matters perhaps even more stark, if you take a look at the Minyan HaMitzvos to the Rambam, this is the short version of the Minyan HaMitzvos that the Rambam presents at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. If I'm not mistaken, I know that the Sefer HaMitzvos was written in Arabic, so it's, everything we see is a translation. But I believe that the Minyan HaMitzvos at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, like the Mishnah Torah, is written in Hebrew, so there's no question about the Rambam's formulation. The Rambam writes in source base, Lehisvados lifnei Hashem mikol chet sheyaseh adam. To confess from any sin that a person has done. B'shasa karbon, v'shelo b'shasa karbon. Whether it's at the time you bring a karbon, or even if you're not bringing a karbon, not at the time of bringing a karbon. Shenemar, v'hisvadu eschatas ha'masher asu. In this presentation of the mitzvah, what is the role of tshuva? The answer is nothing. He doesn't mention it at all. Not a word. So on the one hand, we have the koteret, where he suggests that there are two parts almost equal to the mitzvah, tshuva and vidui. You have to do A and do B. We have the short minyan mitzvahs, where it sounds like tshuva is not at all part of the mitzvah, it's just vidui. And then in the Sefer HaMitzvos, it seems to be that the mitzvah is vidui, but somehow accompanied by tshuva. The last formulation, for the moment, is how the Rambam presents it in the first halacha of Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam writes, Kol mitzvos shebetorah, bein aseh bein lo saseh, im avar adam al achas mehem, bein bezadon, bein bishkaga. Kishe yaseh teshuva v'yoshuv mecheto, chayev lehisvados lefnei hakel baruchu. Shenemar isha uisha ki asvu, v'hisvadu eschat asam asher asu, ze vidui dvarim. Vidui ze mitzvah saseh. So here, the Rambam says clearly that the mitzvah is vidui. But when is there a mitzvah to do vidui? Well, after you've done tshuva. In effect, one would say that tshuva is a prereq for the mitzvah of vidui. And just as you can't take the advanced course in the college until you've taken the introductory course, so in the same way, you can't do vidui until you've actually done tshuva. But the mitzvah itself is vidui. Okay. So that would seem to be very straightforward. Of course, that doesn't tell us what is tshuva. The Rambam in the first parak here says nothing about what does it mean to do tshuva. When you do tshuva, now there's a mitzvah to do vidui. Okay, now let's move ahead for a moment, the other side of the sheet, to Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. And the Rambam here provides us with a definition of tshuva. Umahi ha-tshuva. Hu, sheyazov ha-chotei chet-o, V'yisiro mimachshavto. A person should abandon his sin and remove it from his mind. Now, what does it mean to be ozev cheto? One is tempted when reading the first line in the Rambam to mean, I did a sin and I express regret for having done it. That's what it means to leave it. But as we'll see in a moment, that can't be. Yazov cheto is not looking back at the past. It seems to be something in the present. He continues, "V'yigmar belibo shelayaseu od shenemar yaazov rasha darko." He abandons the path that he's followed. Now, how do I know that this doesn't mean harat on the past? Because the next word, the Rambam says, "V'chein yisnachem al she'abar shenemar ki acharei shuvi nichamti." And by the way, he should also regret what he did in the past. It's almost as if that is an afterthought in tshuva. Tshuva is really about the future, it would seem. Not about the past. But you also have to regret what you did in the past. V'yayir alav yodea talumos, shelo yoshuv lezeh ha-chet le'olam. God will testify about him that when he has done tshuva, he will never again sin. Shenemar v'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'masei yodeinu. And then the Rambam says, V'tzarech lisvados bisvasa v'lomar inyanos elu shagamar b'liva. And he has to be misvada. I don't understand. We said in the everything we looked at, all the four sources we looked at in the first parak, and in the Sefer HaMitzvos, it would appear that the mitzvah is vidui, and tshuva just serves as a prerequisite to doing vidui. And here, the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of tshuva, and he says that tshuva means that you leave the sin, and you commit to never doing it again. And God assures and could testify about you that you will never recommit it. By the way, you also regret that you did it in the past, by the way. And you also have to confess. So this, the Rambam here makes it sound as if vidui, the vidui, is a requirement for tshuva. Not tshuva as a requirement of vidui. So what's going on? To make matters a little more confusing, when you go later in this parak, the Rambam in Halacha Zayin, in Parak Beis, says, Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'Yachadu L'Rabim V'Ketz Mechila U'Slicha L'Yisrael. It is the completion of forgiveness. L'Fikach Chayavim HaKol Lasos Tshuva U'Lehisvados B'Yom HaKippurim. Everybody has to do Tshuva and to do Vidui in Yom Kippur. And he explains the mitzvah's Vidui begins before the Yom Tov. And you do it before, when you daven mincha, before you eat the suda. You do it again at night. You do it again in shachris, musaf, mincha, me'ilah. That's what the Rambam says. So again, the process seems to be, you do tshuva, then you do vidui. And the ikar seems to be, where the Rambam presents it, is the vidui. You do vidui after mincha, you do vidui kol nitre, you do vidui shachris, musaf, mincha, me'ilah. That's the mitzvah. So the question is, what is the relationship between tshuva and vidui, and how does one explain the seeming contradictions in the Rambam, first parak in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in this halacha, and the Rambam at the beginning, second halacha of Parak Beis? If we turn to the definition of tshuva, the Rambam in Parak Beis halacha Aleph describes the what would be the process of tshuva and the ideal tshuva. He writes there, Ezo hit tshuva gemura. Ze shebat liyado davar she'avar bo. The efshar biyado lasoso upirish velo asam epnei tshuva. You did an aveira under certain circumstances in a certain environment. You find yourself in that same environment, those same circumstances, and you don't do the aveira. Why? Because you did tshuva. Lo miyira, v'lo mikishalon kalach. Not because you're afraid you're going to get caught. Not because you don't have the kalach anymore to do the avera. But rather because of tshuva. And he cites an example of a person who was Baal Isha Bavera, and he still loves her, and he still has his physical strength, his vibrancy. Same situation, and he doesn't do it. He says, Zehu bal tshuva gemura. But then he says, at the end of the third line, V'yim lo shav ela b'meze kenuso, if he waits to do it until he doesn't have the koach to do the aveira anymore, then the Rambam says, "Afal pi she'ena teshuva me'ula," even though it is not a superb, highest form of tshuva, "mo'eles hilo ubal tshuvahu." It works. Afilu avar kol yamav asa tshuva biyom misasa umeis b'tshuvasa kol avonosav nimchalim. Still works. Not ideal tshuva. And he goes on to quote the pasuk. Right? So that is a subpar, non-ideal tshuva. Ideal tshuva is that you regret what you did and you change so that when you find yourself in the same circumstance, you don't do the aveira again. If you look back, however, in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, after explaining that Yom Kippur, the Avodas Yom Kippurim, is a powerful mechaper. He says, "Bizman hazeh she'ein beis hamikdash kayim ve'ein lanu mizbeach kapara." We no longer have the karbanos to serve as atonement. Ein sham ela tshuva. You only have tshuva. Hatshuva mechaperes al kol haveros. Afilu rasha kol yamav asa tshuva b'achrona. Ein mazkirin lo shum davar meirishav. Shenema rishas harasha lo yikasha bo biyom tshuva meirishav. The Rambam says that if a person was a rasha his entire life, and at the last minute he does tshuva, it completely cleans the deck. There's nothing there. It's pure, absolutely pure. No remnant, nothing of, no remes of his avera. So, the Rambam says in Perek Beis that yes, it's a tshuva, but it's not a tshuva ma'ula. And yet here, he doesn't call it a tshuva ma'ula, but he speaks in terms of that it completely cleans the slate. It's totally wiped away. Tabula rasa, not a trace of the sin. How do those two fit together? I understand, it's accepted. You know, but it's not ideal, you know, it still perhaps retains some type of taint, you know. The Rambam says, he must keep in love anything. It's totally clear. So why is that not an ideal tshuva? If you look ahead to Halacha Ches in Perek Beis, the Rambam writes the following. He's in the middle of discussing Yom Kippur. He says, "Avidu shenagu bo kol Yisrael, aval anachnu chotanu, v'hu ikar havidui." That's the primary vidui. I know we do the Ashamnus and we sing and we do the Alchets, but the key vidui is aval anachnu chotanu. And note, by the way, what is in the vidui? We didn't read this, but the vidui in the first paragraph the Rambam describes is. Is represented by three stages. Number one is hakaras achet, to recognize what you did is wrong. Number two is to regret it. And number three is to commit to not redoing it. The ikar avidui, the Rambam says, the ikar avidui is aval anachnu chatanu. That is the first two steps, but not the third step. It's obviously, to say chatanu obviously means you recognize you sinned, and presumably you're saying vidui because you regret it. Avero shisvada aleim biyom haKippurim zeh, choser umisvada aleim biyom haKippurim acher. Afal pishu omid betshuvasa. You did vidui this Yom Kippur. You do vidui again anyway the next Yom Kippur, even though you're omid betshuva. You didn't sin again. So I don't understand. If tshuva plus vidui plus Yom haKippurim, not plus Yom haKippurim, is mechaper. What's the point of being misvada the next Yom Kippur? The Rambam doesn't say that this applies only to the Averis where Kapara hasn't been fully achieved, like Chayvei Krisus, Mises Bezen Chol Hashem. No. Just because I did an Avera and I was misvada this Yom Kippur, misvada again. But why? It almost seems like it should be what we would call Kikelev Shaval Keo. So why is it, what does it mean, once you've done Vidoi and Tshuva and you've achieved Kapara, why are you misvada again next Yom Kippur? And one final question. We don't have the chance to read through slowly the entire first two prakim. But the entire first parak is focused on vidui and kapara, with tshuva playing some role. In the beginning of the second parak, until you get to halacha vav, and halacha vav is where the Rambam now reverts to talking about Yom Kippur, the Rambam doesn't say a word about kapara. He talks only about tshuva, and he even talks about the bidui, a little bit. He doesn't say a single word about kapara. Where did the kapara go? Only now he comes back to Yom Kippur, and all of a sudden we're talking about kapara. The word, the root, doesn't appear there. Why not? I think that the answer to all of the questions, or the key to unlocking it, lies in a Rambam later in Hilchos Tshuva. It's the last source on the sheet. The Rambam writes, "Al tomar she'ein tshuva ela me'avero she'yesh bahem maseh, kegon znus v'gezel u'geneva." Don't think that tshuva is only about things that you did, or that you shouldn't have done, things that you did wrong, like znus, like theft. "Ela kishem she'tzarech adam lashuv me'elu, kah hu'tzarech l'chapes b'deyos ra'o she'yesh la." A person is also obligated in tshuva to engage in introspection, to search for all of his improper character traits. The loshuv min hakas, to do tshuva from anger, umin ha'eva, from hatred, umin ha'kina, from jealousy, umin ha'hitul, from deception, umin redipas ha'mamon va'akavod, from chasing after money and honor, umin redipas ha'machalos v'chayotze behem, min ha'kol tzarech lachzer b'tshuva. So I ask a question. Is there an avera of experiencing eva? Is there an avera of experiencing kina? Well, it depends. Did you do anything? Let's say I hated you, but I treat you kindly. You ask me for something, I don't take nekama, I don't violate lo sitor. You're in need of help, I go out of my way to help you. Is there avera? Maybe lo sisnas achicha b'vecha, maybe. The character traits are not an avera. As a general rule, what is an avera is acting upon them. Now, obviously, it's bad to have bad character traits because, typically speaking, one's character leads to one's actions. So I understand why there's tshuva on gezel, geneva, znus. But what is this tshuva about character traits? And I think that this actually unlocks all the issues that we raised in the Rambam. There are fundamentally two kinds of tshuva. Tshuva type one is cleaning up for past sins, past averos. Tshuva type two is about transformation of character. It's the transformation of character which prevents sin in the future. And that, in a sense, is the much more significant tshuva. We might term these as a tshuva of atonement, of kapara, and a tshuva of transformation. The first one focuses on the past. I made a mess. It's time to clean it up. To clean up the mess in the past, primarily, you know what you need to do? You need to recognize what you did was wrong. You need to regret what you did. And the truth is, the future doesn't matter so much, except that if you don't intend to not do it in the future, how seriously do you regret the past? That tshuva is a prerequisite for vidui. Regretting what you did, recognizing when you're regretting it, is a prerequisite so you can say, aval anachnu chaton. That's the tshuva of atonement, and it's past focus. The tshuva of character transformation, of transformation, is really focused on the present and the future. And in that context, the past doesn't matter so much, except that if you don't regret what you did in the past, if you're not misnachem, it's unlikely that you're not going to want to do it in the future. If you think about an analogy of these two, you're in a relationship with someone you're dating, your wife, a friend, and you do something that you shouldn't do. You do something wrong. So obviously, you have to apologize. You have to sincerely apologize. You want to undo, in a sense, the bad deed that you did to them. But there's a second issue that the other person will say, which is, if you did this to me, there's something underlying problem in the relationship or a problem with your behavior and the way you relate to me. And even if you regret having done this, and you genuinely regret having done this, but what's to say it's not going to recur in the future? And that necessitates the second kind of tshuva, which is you have to identify what the root causes are, and then you have to change yourself so that you don't repeat the avera. I asked earlier, what is kapara and what is tshuva? So tshuva, we've explained that there are two kinds of tshuva. Tshuva fixing the past, and tshuva changing yourself so it never happens again in the future. Kapara is really linked to the first tshuva. Tshuva, vidui, and kapara. It's all about cleaning up a mess. You know what kapara is? In Gemara, in Gittin, in Kamsa Bar Kamsa, quotes Neron, who was sent to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he asked the child, Psokli Psukach, And he quoted Nasati Esnek Masi Bisrael Biyad Adom, and Niran said that by Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lachurvei Besa Ulchapure Yode Bahu Gavra. He wants to destroy the Mikdash, but he wants me to do it, and he wants to wipe his hands on me. I'm going to be the one who suffers the punishment because he wants somebody to destroy the Mikdash, and he ran away. Rashi explains the Kforei HaZahav, the kalim in which the Mekabel the Dam are called Kforei HaZahav, because the Kohen wipes his finger when he's done on the clean. L'chaper means to wipe away. It means to clean. You made a mess, you spilled the milk, clean it up. Right? Of course, if you're careless and you run through the kitchen without watching what you're doing, so then you're going to knock the milk over again and again. So that's why you have to change your basic behavior. But if you happen to knock it over once, the job of kapara is to wipe up the milk. That's how you mechaper for what you did in the past. You also want to make sure that you don't do it again. I think that with this key, we can explain a lot of things in the Rambam, the issues that we've raised. The primary kiyum ha-mitzvah is something that, by definition, you have to do. And that's vidui. Tshuva, in a certain sense, has no ma'isa ha-mitzvah. You can't really count the mina mitzvahs. Tshuva is about internal character change. So the mitzvah that the Rambam lists in Hilchos Tshuva, the ma'isa ha-mitzvah, is vidui. And that's the focus of Perek Aleph. In that context, Tshuva type 1 is a prerequisite for the vidui. Because you can't be mitzvadeh. You can't say chatasi avisi pashati and I have charata unless you've done tshuva. It's a prerequisite, the tshuva. But the central mitzvah remains the vidui. That explains the short minyan mitzvah, so the Rambam doesn't even mention tshuva. It explains the long minyan mitzvah, so when the Rambam says the mitzvah is vidui ima kapara. It explains the formulation in the first halacha, which is kishe yashuv yisvadeh, kishe yase tshuva. And the only difficult part, perhaps, is the koteret, but there the Rama maybe is writing in shorthand. You do tshuva and kapara, and tshuva and vidui, because these are the two stages in doing vidui. You can't do the vidui without the tshuva. As I said before, this tshuva is past focused. To the extent that you intend to not do it in the future, that's not a chelak of the mitzvah as much as an indication that you genuinely regret what you did in the past. You tell someone, I'm sorry for what I did, but when you keep doing it over and over, they're going to say to you, I don't really believe that you're sorry, because if you were sorry, why do you keep doing it? Tshuva type 2 is what we find in the beginning of the second perek, particularly described in Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Let's read the Rambam again. We read it once, but now I think it's obvious. Umahi hatshuva, hu sheyazov achote cheto v'yasiru mimachshavto v'yigbar belibo shileaseu od. That means that the chote, he leaves the chet. It's not charata in the past. It's in the present. He separates himself from the chet. He no longer thinks about doing this kind of thing. And he determines, he commits to never doing it again. Shenemar ya'azov rasha darko v'yish oven machshu asav. Darko is his habit, his pattern. He has to abandon that path. V'chein, by the way, yisnachem al sha'avar, shenemar ki'achreishu nechanti. He also, by the way, has to regret the past. Why? Because if you don't regret the past actions, there's no way that you're going to believe in them in the future. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify about the person who did this what? Who's done tshuva in this fashion, where he will no longer do it again. God will testify that he'll never be shav to this chet la'olam. And by the way, the last thought, v'tzarek l'svatos b'svasa v'lomar yanos elu shagamar belibo, I'm not even sure that the Rambam means this is actually the vidui. I'm not even sure this is the vidui of the first parak. He doesn't say this is the vidui of chatasi avisi pashati, and I'm mischarit. He has to articulate what the Rambam just described in words. That which he was gomer belibo, his genuine tshuva type 2, you also have to articulate this. Why? Probably because when you articulate something verbally, it has a transformative impact upon you. It's one thing to think to do tshuva, but as you verbalize things, it cements the tshuva. This may or may not be the vidui of the first parak in terms of its structure, its formalities, but it certainly isn't the vidui of the first parak in terms of its goal. The vidui of the first parak is part of the mitzvah of tshuva and kapara, of fixing the past. This vidui is simply cementing your gains for the future, cementing tshuva type 2. And this tshuva, as I said earlier, can't be the mitzvah, because there's no maisa. There's nothing that you can do per se. This is a change in character. It's not like you do something and it's done. No, vidui, after you did a regret on the past, you do the vidui, you're done. You've done what you're supposed to do, or seemingly. The question about my question earlier about tshuva, whether it's done later in life, is it complete or not? In Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, it sounded like a tshuva done when you're old. It's a tshuva. You're forgiven, but it's not a tshuva ma'ula. But in Perek Aleph, the Rambam doesn't offer any qualification to it. Why? Because Perek Aleph is focused on the past. If you're talking about cleaning up the mess of the past, the primary issue is regret, identification of the sin, recognition, and regret. The future is secondary to that. This future is only an issue because if you do it again, it undermines your regret. But the bottom line is that if you do tshuva on your deathbed, tshuva type 1 is perfectly complete. Because you recognized the chait, you acknowledged it, and you don't do it again. Granted, because you're going to die. So if you're talking about the tshuva of cleaning up the past, you did your job. You're mechaper. You wiped everything away. But if you're talking about the transformation of character, so that in order to transform your character, you need the evidence that it's transformed, which is, you find yourself in the same situation, and you don't do the aveira again. Then we know your character has been transformed. That's the tshuva of Perek Bini and Perek Beis. And that tshuva, if you wait till you don't have the koach to do the sin anymore, yeah, you're avonos avanim chalim. But it's not a tshuva ma'ula. It's not tshuva type 2. Because there's no evidence that your character has been transformed, and perhaps it hasn't even. You don't sin again, not so much because you've changed. You've changed. You're too weak and old to do the aveir again. But that's not transformation of character. Why is it that kapara is omitted until the end of this parak, where the Rambam resumes talking about Yom HaKippur? Because the first part of this parak has nothing to do with kapara. The assumption is you did your tshuva, you did your vidu, you wiped away the past sins. We're not dealing with kapara anymore. You're forgiven. But we're worried about what's going to happen in the future. Have you really changed as a person? That's not a question of kapara. That's a question of tshuva. And hence, the Rambam does not mention the word kapara. As to the repetition of vidui, meaning Yom Misvada and Yom Kippur for things that you were Misvada last year. So I ask the question, why is it that you do vidui again? If you were miskaper already, and you're omeid b'tshuva, as the Rambam says, what's the point of the vidui? And the answer is that from the vantage point of the vidu of tshuva type 1 and kapara, correct, there is no function, there's no purpose in that. But if you're talking about transformation of character, one of the ways that you do that is you think about who you were in the past. You tell yourself, I don't want to be that. And sometimes if you forget what you were, and you forget that that's what you can turn into and become, there's a greater danger that you will backslide. And therefore, even though I was misvada last Yom Kippur, even though I did tshuva, I'm omeid b'tshuva, I haven't done it again, I was niskaper last Yom Kippurim, in terms of cementing tshuva type 2 and making sure that you don't sin again, repeating vidui is essential. You never forget what you did in the past, because when you forget, there's a greater possibility that you're going to do it again. This particular point to me is actually very interesting, because I believe that Yom HaKippurim is primarily about tshuva type 1. The Iker Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim is vidui. We do it over and over again, and that's tshuva type 1. But here the Rambam has, and that's by the way with the Rambam, when he begins Halacha Zayin, he's going back to that. But nonetheless, it's interesting that the Rambam sees as an element in Yom Kippur, not just all year round to be misvada again for things you did, he does inject an element of tshuva type 2 in Yom Kippur, even though I believe that it's secondary. If we now come back to the questions that I began with, the question of how is it that you can have kapara without tshuva, and how is it that you can have tshuva but no kapara is achieved, I think we can explain very easily. I come into the kitchen. I break the glass of milk. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, I get annoyed that somebody left it there. But you know what? I clean up the milk. I run like a Vildachaya through the kitchen. I'm going to run like a Vildachaya again through the kitchen. I'm going to break milk again. But you know what? I knock the milk over. I clean it up. Did I achieve kapara? Well, in a sense, I did. I did achieve kapara. Did I do tshuva? No. Do I regret? I don't even regret. I blame someone else. I don't think what I did was wrong. I wish they hadn't left the milk on the counter. But nonetheless, I clean up the mess that I made. Now, ordinarily speaking, in the world in which we inhabit, there's no such thing. You can't clean up the mess without tshuva. For starters, I would say, for a very simple reason, you can't do vidui. You can't do vidui without doing tshuva. Tshuva is a prerequisite for vidui. However, there's one situation where you can have kapara without vidui. And that is the sar la'azazel in Yom HaKippurim. Because you don't have to do vidui. The Kohen Gadol is misvada lashon kol Yisrael. And therefore, it is within the realm of the possible. The Chachamim deny this, but Rebbe thinks it is possible. It's within the realm of the possible that you have vidui, which accomplishes the kapara, even though you didn't do tshuva. And hence, there are circumstances in which it is possible, not for us, because we no longer have the mizbeach kapara, but it is conceptually possible to achieve kapara, to wipe away the stain of the sin, all about the past, without having done tshuva. And what about the question of how is it possible that this person did tshuva and yet doesn't achieve kapara? He's done tshuva his entire lifetime. He has done tshuva gemura. He not only regrets the past, no matter what he does, no matter what Yisurim has suffered, and nonetheless, no kapara until he dies. And as I said before, I'm not sure that the death itself is a kapara. Everybody has to die. It's inevitable. But I think that if you understand kapara as cleaning up the mess, then you can understand why there's tshuva without kapara. The chet of chilul Hashem is so great that the only way that the stain is wiped away is when the person dies. You know why? The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, why is it that the Torah tells us that when a person commits an avera of arayos with a behema, the Torah says, Veshabe matarog. The Mishnah offers two reasons. One of the reasons is so that the behema shouldn't be overis bashuk, and people will say, Zohi sheploni niskal al yada. In other words, the person, in a sense, was punished already. But he's gone. And yet what happens when somebody sees the behema? The stain of the sin is still there. In that case, it's kalon for the person. And therefore the Torah says, remove that. Out of kavod, sense of kavod abrios. The same thing I think is true here. Chilul Hashem is such an enormous avera that you can do all the tshuva in the world, but every time you walk by, people say, you remember what he did? A Talmud Chacham who was Sarach, a Talmud Chacham who did something that was wrong, he could do tshuva, he could compensate his victims, he could be sincere, he could face the same circumstance and not do it again, and we know that he's done tshuva. But there always are going to be people who say, yeah, but you know, that rabbi, that's the one who did that. You know when that ceases? When he's gone. It's not an onesh. It's a natural consequence. When the person who was mechal shem shamayim, he was pogem is tzelem alokim, when he no longer is ben achayim, then the chil Hashem can have kapara. Then, and only then, people can forget and the sin can be wiped away. That's why you can have tshuva without kapara. You can have not only tshuva type 1, you can have tshuva type 2. But kapara is about cleaning up a mess. You can sometimes do everything in the world and you can't clean up the mess you made until you're gone. And sometimes you clean up a mess even though you didn't actually do tshuva. As the Rambam makes clear, the ideal type of tshuva is the second kind of tshuva. It's the one that involves transformation of character. It's the one that's done when a person still has the capacity to sin, but they change themselves so that they no longer will sin. I want to spend a few remaining moments thinking about perhaps how that tshuva can be achieved. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah quotes a Meimer Rav Yitzchak on the Tazayin Amidbeis. He says that there are four things that are Mekarin Gizardino Shaladam. Tzedakah, Tza'aka, and I'm going to put it out of order, Shinui Maisa, and Shinui Hashem. And V'yesh Omrim, Shinui Makar. I would suggest that the first three here, Tza'aka, Tzedakah, Tza'aka, and Shinui Maisa, are all attempts to invoke, to create Shinu Hashem. You know what Shinu Hashem is? It's a change of who you are. It's a change of character. You were Yuda today, now you're Yehuda tomorrow. You're a different person. You're not the same person. That's what a Shinu Hashem represents. You're a different, completely different person. So these three things, if they lead to Shinu Hashem, occur in Gzar Din Shel Adam. Some say, but not everybody agrees, that there's an alternative also, which is Shinui Makom. You change your place. What does this mean? So I think that there are two real ways to affect character transformation. The first is to change your environment. The person may not change, but he doesn't sin again because he's not in the same environment. It's not that he can't, but he's in a totally different place. There's a book, it's by the title of Switch, by Dan and Chip Heath. It belongs to what is termed, I think, the field of behavioral economics. It's an incredible Musar Sefer. I doubt anybody has said that before, but it is a remarkable Sefer Musar. If you are interested in having Charat on the past, it's not going to help you. He's not going to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. But if you know what you should and shouldn't do, but it's hard to not do it, or it's hard to do it, they talk about how people change, how you help people change. It is a remarkable Sefer for anyone who wants to read Musar, who wants how to guide. They talk about what happened in the Vietnam War, when apparently large numbers of soldiers were using heroin. Many were addicted there. Almost 80% of the people within, I don't know, a month of arriving in Vietnam were using heroin. Public health officials were terrified that when soldiers came back from Vietnam, there was going to be a public health epidemic. They came back, and you know what happened? Nothing. In the end, within short order, the percentage of addicts in the soldiers who had returned was the same as in the general population. No different. What happened? So the authors explain, in Vietnam, which was an awful place, this is what you did. You did heroin. I guess you had to numb the pain. It was an awful environment. And when you were in Vietnam, that's what you do. You come back to the streets of Milwaukee, so you're not, when you're in another place, you're not the same person. You in Vietnam is different than you in Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, you just don't do those things. That's not what we do here. This is a different place. It hasn't really changed your character. It hasn't really changed the God or the person, but the change of environment is so powerful that you just don't do the things that you did in one place that you do in another. Very simple. It's a very effective form of change. Although it may not be ideal in the sense that you haven't truly transformed your character. But the truth be told, if you're looking to change practically, that's the way to do it. There is a second way of change, and that's Shinui Hashem. But that requires looking in the mirror. It requires reaching the depths of sin, that when you look in the mirror, you don't recognize the person that you see. You look in the mirror, you say, one second, that's not me. I'm not the kind of person who does this. How do the two go together? And the person just doesn't do it anymore. He quits cold turkey. That is very, very difficult to do. Very few people are successful in doing it. If you want to go on a diet, my suggestion is don't put the cookies in the cabinet and say, but I won't eat them. Don't think that you can change the gavra. Don't have cookies in the house. Change the environment. Have a shinui makom, and you are much more likely to succeed. But the Shinu Hashem, in many ways, is clearly a tshuva ma'ula. It means that you face your demons, you face the Yetzer Hara, and you are victorious. Undoubtedly, Shinu Hashem is a tshuva ma'ula. Yesh Omrim, that Shinu Makom is also Koren Gzar Dino. Why? Because it's very effective, but it's not a testament to your personal character change. Maybe it counts because what? You had the intelligence to mishana your makom, to change your environment. And since you took that step, unlike the person who waited till he was on his deathbed or had no koach anymore, where he didn't do anything, it just happened to him, at least you took the step of being mishana your makom, and then you're no longer chote, and you achieved tshuva gemura through that. So maybe that is, in fact, a tshuva me'ula. I believe that this gemara for those who were here in Rosh Hashanah, I mentioned this at one of the Sudos, also explains a very difficult Gemara, one Amud previously. There's a machlokes between the Tanaim, whether or not a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and everything is determined on those days, and no matter what happens the rest of the year, after your Gzar Din, it's going to happen. If it was decreed upon you to die, you die. It doesn't matter how much tshuva you did, how much masim tovim you did. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to that. Rabbi Yosef says, no. Adam nidon v'chal adam, and I think Rabbi Nassan says, Adam nidon v'chal shah. Rabbi Yosef says, no. Person is judged afresh every day. You change in the middle of the year, you're okay. The Gemara asks a question. If that is so, aman mitzalinan ha'idana al kitzir imri, why do we pray for sick people today during the year? What's the point? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu decreed that this person was going to die, they're going to die. If he decreed that they weren't, they'll get better. The Gemara says first, like Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says that a person's judged every day, so there's always another chance for a new Gzar Din. But then the Gemara says, Ibo Yisema ki Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says that Sa'aka is good both Kodem Gmar Din and La'achar Gmar Din. You know what Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about? So the question is, what does that mean? That's very nice. It's good for you. Right? It's like vitamins. They're good for you. So you, even after, you're going to die anyway, but it's good for your character. So I think Rabbi Yitzchak needs more. Tzaka, that's the first in the list on Amud Beis. It's true. If all you do is a tshuva type 1, and you regret what you did in the past, and you clean up the mess, your gzar din is sealed, very nice, and you're done. But there is a way to avert the gzar din, and that is shinui Hashem. Maybe shinui Malchum. You know what that means? The Malach HaMavis comes knocking on your door and says, I'm looking for Reuven Ben Shimon. But guess what? You had a shinui Hashem. And someone says, sorry, but there's no Reuven Ben Shimon here. And the Malach HaMavis goes away empty-handed. Some say, even shinui Malchum. You change your place. The Malach HaMavis comes knocking on the door and you say, he doesn't live here anymore. So that's a question, because maybe the Malach HaMavis can go find you elsewhere. But in the first case, when you mishane your shame, you are no longer that person that you were. So therefore, there was a Gzar Din. The Gzar Din was against Reuven ben Shimon, not against Levi ben Yehuda. And that's why there are four things that are mekaren Gzar Din or Shel Adam, culminating in Shinui Hashem. And some say, Shinui Makom. As Yom HaKippurim approaches, we will focus the Shabbos Yom Kippur primarily on Tshuva type 1. Al Chet Shechatanu L'fanecha, Al Chet Shechatanu L'fanecha. We will parade our chatai. We will identify that we have sinned. We will regret that we have sinned. And that, in fact, I believe, is Yom HaKippurim. It's a Tshuva type 1, whose purpose is to lead to vidui, which is to lead to kapara. It's not about character transformation. You know what? Maybe we can wait till after Yom Kippur. Right now, someone's pointing a gun at our head. Let's apologize. Let's clean up the mess. But even in that process, as the Rambam reminds us, there's still a mitzvah to do vidui on last year's chatayim as well. Because even as while we are hyper-focused on cleaning up the mess we made during this past year of tshuva type 1, we want to remember tshuva, that ideally what we want is tshuva type 2. We want to be in the situation that next Yom Kippur is we are misvada on chatayim of this past year, next Yom Kippur, it will be that we will be omda mitshuvasa. It will not be because we sinned again with the same sin and we need to do kapara again. But rather it will be a vidoy just to reinforce, to provide chizuk, that we will continue to be omed mitshuva and not to repeat those averas. It will be the kind of tshuva, as the Rambam says in Halacha Dalet of Perek Beis, of Darkei HaTshuva, the person says, Mishane Shemo, Kolomar Ani Acher, Ve'eni Osa Ish, Sha'asan Osan Hamasin. That's not me. And the way to do that is to recognize that there's a higher form of tshuva. Hopefully, if we keep this in mind, this Yom Kippur should for all of us, should result in a Gemar Chasima Tova, and a year that is malay of brachos and shalom for all of us and for all of the world. Gemar Chasima Tova. Right, that would make sense. My failure is I didn't actually go through what she's already learned. I should have. Chassidashna.